Okay, like Hashi said, Pasha Sarikra, Nuchum Shnusdat. Okay. Nuchaydish, Chadish Nisim. Whole new, everything's new. Okay. Pashas Vayikra. First pasuk, first word, Vayikra El Moshe. And everyone knows Vayikra is spelled with a small aleph at the end. Vayikra is spelled Vav Yud Kuf Reish, and the aleph is spelled smaller than the, is written smaller than the other letters. And the Balaturim tells us, says the Balaturim, aleph, the Vayikra is Zira. The aleph of Vayikra is small. Shemoshe, Shayagodo, Va'onov, Moshe was great. And it was an onov, he wanted to write Vayikar, not Vayikro with the Aleph at the end. Vayikar means that Hashem met him, Hashem chanced upon Hashem. Kederech Hashem, it says by Bilam, it says Vayikar Hashem as Bilam. Just as it says Vayikar, Hashem met Bilam, here too Moshe wanted to say Vayikar, not Vayikro, which is showing the greatness of Moshe. Hashem called him, so Moshe wanted to say Vayikar, as if he only met Hashem b'mikra by coincidence. When Hashem told him, write the Aleph, so they sort of compromised, and he wrote a small Aleph, so it says Vayikra, but to teach us that Moshe Rabbeinu was an onov and didn't want to say Vayikra. The Pesimcha Bun Mifashischa says over, Dafka over here, where Hashem speaks to Moshe, the Torah teaches us the anivus of Moshe. He compares it to a person who climbs a mountain. Imagine a person climbs a mountain, and he's standing all the way on top. So a fool who's on top of the mountain, what's his reaction? A fool says, look how tall I am. I'm so tall. He looks down at everybody else on the ground. He's all the way up. Look how tall I am. Until a chacham says to him, not what you are. It's not you that's tall. It's the mountain that's tall. Just happens to be you're standing on top of the mountain. But you're not any taller than the people standing on the ground. Just that you're on the mountain is taller. Moshe Rabbeinu, Hashem spoke to Moshe. Here's a chance where Moshe stands out tall. Hashem speaks to Moshe. And Moshe goes out of his way and wants to ride Vayikar. Even in this moment of Moshe's, so to speak, glory, when Moshe and Hashem speaks to Moshe, Moshe goes out of his way to show Vayikar that it's not my doing that I'm great, but rather Hashem met and Hashem came to speak with me. And a person has to know when he, what's his accomplishments and what really is not his and he really can't take credit for. Standing on top of the mountain doesn't make a person any taller than a person standing on the ground. And how many stories are told over about the Gedolim, how careful they were with Gaiva to stay away from any Gaiva and their anivus. Especially now, of course, before Pesach, and everybody is busy running around. Nobody thinks now, we're an automatic pilot now, we're just programmed to do whatever has to be done before Pesach. You have to be careful, watch out a little bit, that any gaiva, another machabeira, should remain also part of our schedule and be careful how we treat others. The Beis HaLevi, before he was well known, he was yet a young, he was yet a younger man, he wanted to travel to the city abroad to speak to Rav Shmuel Klugel. Shlomo Klugel was one of the Gedolim. The Beis HaLevi wanted to travel from Litta, where he was, to Brod, to visit Rav Shlomo Klugel. The only problem was, it wasn't exactly nearby. It was quite a trip. And he had to hire a wagon to take him. The Beis HaLevi didn't have money, didn't have the funds to hire a wagon to take him all the way to Brod. So the only solution that he came up with was he approached a wagon driver, and he offered his services. He said, I'll tell you what, take me along, you're going anywhere in that direction, you're going towards the city abroad, let me come along with you, and I'll help you out, let me be your assistant for the trip. And this way, he wouldn't have to pay for the trip, and he'll help the Balagola along the way. Balagola was more than happy, he had someone offering to help him, he said, fine. Not knowing that it was the Beis HaLevi, thinking it was some young man needing a ride to abroad, trying to pay his way, he says, fine. And at first, the trip starts off uneventful. Eventually, the wagon driver starts to tire. He wants to rest a little bit. Says to the Beis HaLevi, young man, come, take over the reins. Sit here, take over the reins, and hold the horses. And Beis HaLevi has not too much experience controlling horses, pulling a wagon, and he holds on. The first minute or so, things are going pretty smoothly, and then the horse starts to make a turn to the right. He's holding on to the straps. The wagon turns one way, he's not sure to straighten out the wagon turns the other way, and the wagon driver sees something's not right, and he jumps up and he says to him, don't you know how to hold the reins of the horse? Don't you know how to control the wagon? And he helps him along. Now do it right. And basically Levi says, okay. Malinjan goes back to sleep, and as soon as the turn in the road, the wagon starts to tilt, pulls the wrong way, and the wagon driver wakes up, and the wagon almost fell over, starts screaming at him, what's with you? You have no idea how to control a wagon, how to drive the wagon, how to hold the horses. And he gives basically Levi a zetz, and he says to him, what kind of a fool are you? Come on my wagon like this, and so on. Anyway, they finally arrive in Brod. Beis HaLevi says, say Shalom Shalom, thank you very much. Shmuel Gerber says, just go. I don't need you. Say go. Beis HaLevi comes into Shlomo Kluger, and Shlomo Kluger sees this young man standing in front of him. He introduces himself. They start to talk in one sugi and another and another. And Shlomo Kluger realizes that he has a big Talmud Chacham standing in front of him. And they discuss for many hours, they discuss certain gemara, certain sugis. Shlomo Kluger says to the Beis HaLevi, since I see that you're a Talmud Chacham in your own right, I want to ask you a favor. Maybe you could speak Shabbos and Shul. Do me a favor. This week, instead of my speaking, I want you to speak. Speak in Shul this week. Beis HaLevi says, okay, he agrees to speak. And the word spreads around that the Goyin from Litta, this young Goyin who came from Litta, is going to speak in Shul on Shabbos. And of course, you can figure out what happens next. Everybody comes to hear his speak, including the wagon driver. And the wagon driver is sitting in the audience. And he's waiting for the big Goyin of Litta to come and to speak. And Beis HaLevi walks up to the bima, starts to speak, and the wagon driver, mouth is wide open, he can't believe it. His Bala Gola, who could control the horses, is a big Talmud Chacham from Litta. And the wagon driver feels terrible. Slapped him, he had yelled at him, he had shamed him, he feels terrible. He can't wait for the drasha to end. Right after the drasha is over, the wagon driver runs up to the Beis HaLevi and he says to him, Rebbe Mechila, I'm sorry, I didn't know who you were, I didn't know what a big Talmud Chacham, I'm sorry that I embarrassed you and I yelled at you for not being able to drive the wagon, spending control of the horses. And Beis HaLevi says to him, you were right. I taka don't know how to control the horses. I taka don't know how to drive a wagon. And for that, you had every right to yell at me because I didn't know how to do that. But when it comes to learning, that I know a little bit. So he told the wagon driver, you're right. Okay, the story. How would we have reacted? I don't know. But the bottom line is, sometimes people say things, things are said.
When people, the wagon driver?
Yes. Sometimes things are said, things are done, and it's always, don't take everything so seriously. It's not always meant, don't take it so seriously, especially now, the tensions are running high now before Pesach. Even if you're going away for Pesach, the tensions are still running high. Yeah. Whatever it is, everybody has. If you think your house is upside down, the house next door is just as upside down as well. It's like that in every single house. Everybody's busy with Pesach, and the tensions run high. Take a step back, take a breath. Pesach will come, Mitzvah Hashem, and we'll all be zeicher to have a beautiful Seder. Okay. Pasuk says in Pasuk Beis, Adam ki yakriv mikem karben l'Hashem, a person who brings from you a karben l'Hashem. And Pasuk Beis, Dabrei al b'nei Yisrael v'amartal aleihem, Adam ki yakriv mikem, a person who brings from you a karben l'Hashem. And Mefarshim were all bothered by the word Mikem. Adam ki yakriv Mikem, from you. The word Mikem seems to be extra. The pasuk could have just as easily have said, Adam ki yakriv, carbon to Hashem. A person who brings a carbon to Hashem. What does it mean Mikem? A person brings from you a carbon to Hashem. What's the from you? A person who brings ki yakriv, a carbon to Hashem. The Al Sheikh HaKadosh is well known, says the Al Sheikh HaKadosh, that it has to be Mikem. When you bring a carbon, what's the idea of the carbon? Really, the person himself should be the carbon. It should be his dam on the Mizbeach, his blood on the Mizbeach, his chaylev, his fat on the Mizbeach, as a kapara for the avera that he did, or the tshuva that he has to accomplish. But Hashem in his chesed, instead of having a person be brought up on the Mizbeach, Hashem tells us to bring a carbon instead. And ideally, a person should say, the dam of the carbon is instead of my blood. The chaylev of the carbon is instead of my chaylev. Adam ki yakriv mikem. When a carbon is brought, it has to be as if it's mikem. A person has to feel as if it's really supposed to be you, him on the Mizbeach, and instead he's bringing a carbon. This Shabbos, I believe, is the Yortzeit of the Oiv Yisrael. The Aftarov is Hey Nisan, is this Shabbos. And the Oiv Yisrael attaches this Pasuk beautifully. The Pasuk reads, Daber of Bnei Yisrael v'omarta alayhem, Adam ki yakriv mikem, a person who brings from you a carbon Hashem, min ha-behema, from the animals, min ha-baka, from the cattle, min ha-tzayim, from the sheep, takriv ha-skabanchem, bring your carbon. Says the Aftarov, Adam ki yakriv mikem, when a person brings a carbon, or today, a person comes to do a mitzvah, a person should bring a mikem with his whole being. When you do a mitzvah, you mean carbon, do it with mesiras nefesh. Give it all you have. Give all your kaiches, put all your ability into it, all your kaiach into it. Do a mitzvah in the best possible way. When you do it in such a good way, it's mikem, you're giving of yourself. That's a carbon of Hashem. That's a carbon that's accepted by Hashem and brings you closer to Hashem. Whether it's bringing a behema as a carbon, whether it's doing a mitzvah, doing a chesed, learning, whatever it is that a person does, ki yakriv mikem, when you give of yourself, program a suyas nefesh, you give it all your kaiches, what you have, that brings a person closer to Hashem. But if it's min behema, min habako, min atzayin, if a person just feels that, all I have to do is bring the animal. I'll just fulfill my obligations, I'll bring the animal to Beis HaMikdash, Yaitze Zayin, I fulfilled my chiyuv and I'm finished. Or a person just feels, today I'll just give the check, I'll write out the check to the shul, I'll give my donation. I'm Yaitze Zayin, I just have to give min habaka from the metaltalim, from the money that I have. I give the behema, I give the money, I fulfilled my obligation. Then it says, takrivu es karbanchem. Then it's called your carbon. It's not called carbon Hashem. If you're not giving of yourself, you're only giving externally, you're not giving mikem, Hashem says, no, that I don't want. That's called your carbon. Keep it for yourself. If you want it to be a carbon Hashem, then it has to be Adam ki yakriv mikem. A person has to give of himself as well. When a person brings a carbon, he has to have in mind, he's really giving himself. And when a person does a mitzvah, whatever it might be, do it with mikem, giving of yourself in the mitzvah. Perek Aleph Pasuk Beis. The Rashi brings down Adam. Why does the Torah use the word Adam? Adam is not usually used. Ish. Why Adam? It says Rashi, Adam is brought down Lamanema. Why does the Pasuk say Adam? Ma Adam harishayin lehikriv min hagezel. Just like Adam harishayin didn't bring a carbon of gezelah. The whole world, everything in the world belonged to Adam. There's no gezeila. Adam couldn't steal from somebody else, could he?
Where do we find this Bora Karbon?
What?
I don't know.
So too, a person should not bring from gezeila. Adam, just like Adam, there was no gezeila when Adam was alone in the world. Who could he steal from? There's no gezeila. So too, us should not bring karbonos from gezeila. Story of Meir Pamishlan. One time, two people came to me and said they wanted to start a partnership in business. And they wanted a bracha for hatzlacha and success in business. So yes, Meir Pamishlan for a bracha. So he asked them, did you write up a shtar, a contract between yourselves describing your obligations and who has to do what and what you're going to invest and what, how you're going to run the business? Did you write up a contract? And they said no. So Meir Pamishlan says, if that's the case, let me write the contract for you. Takes out a paper and he writes down four letters. Aleph, Beis, Gimel, Dalet. He writes out on the paper, Aleph, Beis, Gimel, Dalet. He says, here's your contract. He has them both sign the contract. Brocha v'hatzlocha. Here's your contract for your partnership. Rebbe, what's Aleph, Beis, Gimel, Dalet? What does it stand for? And he answers with a smile and he says, Emuna, Brocha. If you're honest, you'll be zeichet to Brocha. Geneva, Dalet. But if you steal, then there'll be poverty. Then you won't have any atzalach. So that's the whole secret. Be honest, you zeichet the bracha. Aleph Beis Emuna bracha, Gimel Dalet, Gezeila Dalos Gedeva mean brings failure. To be successful, Emuna Adam Kechemikem, be careful not to use Gezeila. Pasuk says later on, Perik Beis, Pasuk Aleph, the Pasuk up until discussed behemoth and oifos, a carbon oila, and Perik Beis discusses a carbon mincha. Perik Beis, Pasuk Aleph, v'nefesh ki sakriv carbon mincha l'Hashem. A person who brings a carbon mincha l'Hashem, sayla siya carbon is flour, and pour an oil, and levaya. And Rashi brings down the Gemara, and Rashi tells us, the Gemara Menachos Koftalud, the Nefesh Kisachriv. Why does the Torah use the word the Nefesh by a Mincha? Doesn't use the word the Nefesh by a Karban Ayla, by a Shomim, by a Toyud, by a Chatos, only by a Mincha. And it says Rashi, Loinema, actually my Chatos does, my Nedava doesn't say Nefesh. It says Rashi, Loinema Nefesh b'chol kavanas Nedava, ela b'mincha. It only says Nefesh by a Mincha. Why? Because mi darkai lesnadev mincha. Who brings a mincha? Only a poor person. He can't afford an animal. Can't afford a bird. So what does he bring? A little flour, a little oil. All my Kodesh Baruch Hu, Hashem says, Mala ani alav, I consider it, ki'ilu hikriv nafsh, as if he gave his life. Because to an ani, even that small amount of flour, that small amount of oil is so hard for him to give away. He doesn't have much. And even though it's not as important and as choshen as the animal, Hashem says, I consider it and I value it more as if he gave away his, as if he gave away his nefesh. And Rashi brings that earlier also. It says, Ishei reich nechayach, by the behemoth and by the oif reich nechayach, to tell us, echer hamabe ve'echer hamamit, v'lvad sheyichavein libei l'shamayim. It doesn't matter how much a person gives or how little, the ikaris kavanah should be l'shem shamayim. And an oni, it's the nefesh, because when the oni brings the flour, the oil, that's equivalent of giving away his life, because that's all he could afford. And it's quite difficult to bring that flour more than it is for the Oshir to bring the behemoth, the oif. The Duma Magid is a very nice marshal. The king was in the palace, and every day people would bring presents to the king. It got to the point where the king couldn't deal with all the people bringing presents, so he appointed one of his ministers to accept all the presents on his behalf. And whenever anybody came to the palace to bring presents to the king, they were not allowed in to see the king, but they had to leave with the minister. At the end of the day, the minister made one visit to the king and deposited all the presents before the king. One day, a poor man shows up by the palace and he has a present for the king. They bring him to the minister and the minister says, okay, I'll take it from here. The king doesn't see all the individual people that bring presents. Leave it with me. At the end of the day, I'll bring all the presents to the king. And the Ani says, no, I insist that I have to give this present to the king directly. And the minister says, I'm sorry. Doesn't matter who you are, how wealthy you are, how poor you are. The rule is that the presents are left here and they'll be brought to the king later. No individual petitioner, guest is allowed to bring presents to the king. And the Ani says, no, I insist I bring it to the king personally. And the minister says, absolutely not. And they raise their voices. And the Ani's voice becomes quite loud. And the minister answers back just as loud. And they are quite loud. And the king himself hears the argument taking place. And he hears the Ani insisting that he bring it in. The minister insisting that he can't. The king says, let him bring it in. Let him bring it in. And the Ani comes in with his present. And he gives some small little present to the king, not worth much at all. And the king says to him, explain yourself. Why did you insist that you had to bring this present to me directly and you couldn't leave it with the minister like everybody else does? And the poor man said, Your Majesty, look at me. He says, I'm like an oni. This present itself, look at the present. It's not worth so much. If you would only see the present, you would think somebody left it and didn't care too much about you and just left a little present not worth too much. I want you to see the one that bought it as well, the person that bought it. Because when you see who I am and you see the way he's dressed and I haven't eaten in a day or two because I traveled here on foot. It was quite difficult. I had difficulty reaching you and coming here. When you see the entire picture and you see how the presenter of the present looks, then you understand that even though the present itself might be minute, might be small, but if you take the entire picture into consideration, you understand how important it is. So only if you see me as well with the present, can you appreciate all the effort and all the kaiches and everything that went into bringing you this present. And that's why I had to come together with the present to the king. So the Duno Magid v'nefesh kisaka, the same is true. Ani goes ahead and Ani brings a carbon. Says, HaKadosh Baruch Hu, I know exactly what it took. The nefesh kisaka. That little mincha that the Ani brought, it's worth more than the animal that the usher brought, more than the ifis. Because for the Ani to bring this small mincha, even though it's not as chashuv, but the Ani to give away his life, the nefesh kisaka, so he gave his life. So when the Kodesh Baruch Hu sees the person who's bringing it to Ani, fakert. It enhances the mincha. It makes him more choshuv. It's like he brought his nefesh, and therefore the pasuk says, "V'nefesh kisakriv karban mincha." When a nefesh brings a karban mincha. Famous story with the stipler. I probably said it over, but don't get the wrong idea. And you'll understand what I mean after I finish the story. It's a well-known story. The stipler was once riding in a taxi in Eretz Yisrael and speaking to the taxi driver. And the stipler asked the taxi driver, "Are you kaveh itim atayra? Do you set aside time to learn every day?" And the taxi driver said, "I'll tell you the truth. I try. I drive a whole day. It's very tiring. Come home at night, I eat a little bit, I run out to a shir. But I'm so tired and so spent and worn out at the end of the day that when I come to the shir, I open up the Gemara, and as soon as the shir starts, I feel all my strength leaving me, I close my eyes, I fall asleep, and when I hear the Magad Shir closing the Gemara, I wake up. And that's my learning." So the stipler said to him, "In this world, it looks like you're doing nothing. In this world, it looks like it's nothing. Because in this world, we rate by how much you accomplish, how much you learn, how much you did. Not the effort involved. And not how much you could do, and how much of your koiches are you using. That's in this world. But instead, I want you to know, upstairs, you're a tzaddik gomer. You're a complete tzaddik. Because you're using all your koiches to the utmost. And that's all that HaKadosh Baruch Hu wants, is that a person should use his koiches as much as he can. And if you're using all your kaiches, and with your last ounce of strength, you're pulling yourself to come to the base of Medrash to learn at night, even though you fall asleep over the Gemara, that's all that you could do at that time. You used up, you used your entire nefesh, it's as if you gave your life to come learn at night, and a Shemayim be considered to be a tzaddik gomer. It doesn't matter how much you were awake, what you learned, echramar bevechramamit, vavad sheichav eliba is kavanah should be la Shemayim. That was the story. Don't get the wrong idea. Doesn't mean you can plan on coming to Shia and falling asleep. It should be planned as the time to fall asleep. But if it happens that a person is tired, and just like we all are, and fall asleep, a person shouldn't say to himself, "I wasted my night away." You didn't waste the night away. Fakir, just the opposite. You used your last ounce of strength to come and learn. I believe it was the Haflah and his brother who used to stay up and learn at night until they had no more kaiches even to walk to the bed. If they were able to walk to the bed, they would use that ounce of strength to learn. They literally fell asleep where they were. And they didn't even walk to the bed. Every ounce of koyach that they had, they would use to learn. Okay, we're not on that level. But while we have the koyach, and most of us have the koyach at the end of the day, somewhat, at least use it. You should fall asleep at a share. But at least the koyach was used. We used it the utmost that we could. And for that we have schar. Pasuk says later on in Perek Gimel Pasuk Yid Aleph, "V'yaktiru haKayin haMizbecha lechem isher Hashem." The Kayin brings to the Mizbeach lechem. A carbon is called lechem, bread. A carbon is called lechem isher Hashem. And the truth is, we find the Gemara in Brachos Daf Nun Hey. The Gemara tells us, "Kol zman shebeis hamikdash kayim." As long as the Beis Hamikdash exists, Mizbeach mechaper al Yisrael. Mizbeach was mechaper for Klal Yisrael. The achshav, and now when there's no Beis Hamikdash, shulchano shalado mechaper alav.
Table.
A person's table is mechaper for him.
I make table.
The table. is mechaper for him. Those are the words of the Gemara. Of course, ayin ponim atayra. You can type this up many different ways. Many pshatim. Your first tachnos asarchim. You have guests eat by the table. Mekayim mitzvahs by the table. You speak the very Torah by the table. When you eat your meal, you'll enhance it by having guests by the table, speaking the very Torah by the table. You treat it as a davar shebe kedusha. Your table turns into an item of kedusha. That's like a mizbeach, it's mechaper for a person. But even poshut eating, even straightforward eating, if a person eats the way he's supposed to eat, that's also an act of kedusha. Reb Chaim Balozhin told over a story, very short story. I usually don't like to deal with these in Yonim because I don't know much about them. There was a dibbuk that went into a certain person in Valojin. And whoever was speaking to the dibbuk threatened him that if the dibbuk doesn't leave, they're going to bring him to the Gra, to the Vilna Gaon. They're going to bring him to the Gra. As soon as they mentioned the Gra's name, they saw that the body, the dibbuk was in tzitzit and was afraid. So somebody asked the dibbuk, "Why are you so afraid of the Gra?" I don't know who had the chutzpah to ask a question like this, but ask the divuk. The Gra is not known that he fasts many times. Why are you afraid of a person who doesn't fast and doesn't have these kind of segulas? Gra eats like everybody else. Why are you so afraid of the Gra? The Dibbuk answered that it's true. The Gra doesn't fast, doesn't take on tanesim, but when the Gra eats, his eating is worth more than others fasting. Because when the Gra eats b'kedusha with tahara, it's like he's bringing karbonos on the mizbeach, and that eating of the Gra could accomplish a lot as a double shiva kedusha. A person who eats properly by the table is being kind of double shiva kedusha. And the truth is, it applies to all of us as well. You could tell a person's character by the way that he eats. If you don't know who a person is, there are many stories where a person came and the Gedolim weren't sure whether he was a tzaddik, a rosha, a faker, for real, would watch how he eats. If you see how he eats that cake, you can tell right away where he's holding in life, where his midos saw, where he's holding. The Mechaber brings down the Siman Reish Raman Aleph in Arachayim, that even plain eating and drinking, a person eating and drinking, in order to kidechayev, to give himself chiyus, himself kayach, lavis by roi, to serve a Kodesh Baruch Hu, that's a double shiva kedusha, eating and drinking. Mishnah Berurah is now from the Chai Adam. There are those that say before they eat, to eat and drink, to have kayach, to be able to serve Hashem. It takes 10 seconds, but it turns the whole Suda into a Suda Smith. It turns everything around. People make mistakes. You think for kavana, you have to have an hours of kavana. 10 seconds does it also. 5 seconds, I mean to have kayach to be able to learn. The whole suda now becomes a davish of a kedusha. We say by the seder, shulchan oirich. The table that's arranged, order. So we say over, why, what's that shulchan oirich? Poshner means this table that's arranged with all the food and all the matzahs and the mara and the seder, everything's arranged properly. But they also say of Pshat, Shulchan Arich. The letters of Shulchan are the same letters as L'Nachash. Shin Lamed Ches Nun, Lamed Nun Ches Shin. Shulchan and L'Nachash are the same. We misbalel, our table should be a table of Arich, where the letters remain in the proper order. There remains a Shulchan. And not that we speak Lashon Hara, and speak what we shouldn't do by the table, and act not properly, and the letters get rearranged to spell L'Nachash. We hope it's a Shulchan Arich, table that remains, the letters remain arranged properly. We treat the table with the proper kedusha, because today instead of the mizbeach, Beis Mikdash, the shulchan's mechaper for a person. In Makayin, we'll stop in a minute. In Makayin, the Mashiach yechetal la'ash masam. In Perek Dalad, Pasuk Gimel, the pasuk tells us if the Kayin Mashiach, the Kayin Gadol sins la'ash mas ha'om, by the guilt of the people. Strange emotion. The Kohen Gadol sins, it's la'ashmas ha'om. It's sort of guilt of the people. Why is, when the Kohen Mashiach, when the Kohen Gadol, why when he does an aveir, is it called la'ashmas ha'om? And Duno Magid here is a very nice moshul. A person once had a big storage house filled with wheat. And he had bushels and bushels and bushels of wheat in the storage house. One night, a ganav passes by, and he breaks open the lock, opens the door, goes inside, he steals one sack of wheat. Takes only one sack, or he could carry one big sack of wheat. But he left the door to the storage house wide open. He walks up with one sack of wheat, and he left the storage house wide open. What happens?
The whole town comes.
The animals are passing by, and the animals come out at night, and they see the door open, the animals go in, they start tearing open the sacks, eating, and they make a big mess. Other people pass by, see the door wide open, they go in, the kids at that time, the next morning comes,
ain't no
there's nothing left, whatever's there is ruined, thrown all over the place, the whole storage house is destroyed. The Baal boss is very upset, and he catches the ganef. Catches the ganef, he brings him to court, and he demands the ganef pay him the entire value of all the wheat that he had in the storage house.
Grandma.
And the ganef says, what do you mean? I took only one sack. Why should I have to pay for the entire wheat, the entire storage house, I took only one sack. And he says to him, it's true, you took only one sack. But because of the one sack that you took, and the door was left open, because of what you did, everything else was ruined and taken away as well. So you are responsible for what happened afterwards. Says the Duno Magid, the Kohen HaMashiach, Yechetal La'ash Mas Ha'om. If the Kohen Gadol sins, people learn from him. A person, the higher a person is, the bigger position a person has, people watch. Kahanim. People go up to Kahanim. Kahanim. That they forget. So when you come to Beis HaMikdash, you're supposed to learn from the Kahanim. Sif Seidas, you learn from the Kahanim. If that's the case, when a Kohen Gadol sins, he has responsibility not only because he opened the door, but he has responsibility in Ashmas Ha'am for people also, because people say, he did the Aveira, he sinned.
He could do it.
If he did it, I could do it as well. So the greater a person is, the bigger responsibility, he has. That's why it's called Ashmas Ha'am. The truth is though, we're sitting here laughing. Doesn't apply to me, because who looks at me? But that's a big mistake. Everybody looks at you. Everybody. You have a yarmulke in your head? Everybody looks at you. People look at you. Everybody looks and they see how you behave, what you do, how you act. You have to be very careful. You may not feel it, may not realize it, but people are watching and things are noticed. You have to realize I have a responsibility. And if I do an aveir, it's Lashmas Ha'am, other people can learn. He talked during davening. I could do it. He did. I could do it also. You have to be very careful. It's a big chrayus that we all have. And I'll say it again, especially before Pesach. Things get hectic, and things get out of hand, and every house, it's the same. Whatever happens in your house, I guarantee you, happens in every other house as well. There's no such thing that my house is different, and my house is totally upside down, everyone's house is upside down, it's all over, and don't let it take a throw effect. Don't lose it, don't lose it cool. People watching, people see how you behave, how you react, people learn, fakert. Then this nigalu, but it's an asidim we go, the gula came in this and will come in this and we still have time. Mishim shtaka bizaycha this year, we should be able to go up to the base of Mikdash, Shemini Chomer Pesach, Meher Yemenu Amen.